कमांडोज सब अपनी अपनी जगह पर।
दानिश क्या कर रहा है वहां पर? रोको उसे। हमें ऐसे ऑफिसर की जरूरत नहीं है। थ्रो हिम आउट।
Hi, welcome to a new episode of You Podcast. My name is Asim Birney and I'm joined by a good friend of mine, Sujoy. Hey, Sujoy.
Hello, Asim.
How's it going, man?
Yeah, not too bad.
So, yeah, I think, again, I've learned my lesson. Introduce yourself, man. I think this is kind of, this is a new year. It's new resolutions. I need to start introducing my guests better. Although you've been here like 30 times already.
Have we done 30 podcasts already?
No, I don't think so. It just feels that way.
Yeah, I guess. Most people who know me feel that way. what should I say about me? I'm Sujoy. I'm a cinema enthusiast, a cinephile. I love attending movie screenings and watching movies and binging on Netflix and talking about movies in general, be it Bollywood, Tollywood, Collywood, all the woods. Different woods, same tree.
Yeah, and we also just did a year-end podcast together, which was tons of fun, right?
So where
is it posted again? Is it on...
It's on dailypub.in.
Perfect.
Yeah,
awesome. Yeah, that was lots of fun. So it's weird. So if people want to hear like our top lists or whatever our favorite movies were, we didn't do it on You Podcast this year. It's on... it's on your blog.
Dailypub.in,
Dailypub.in. You've got so many, man. I get confused with all of them.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Brand is all over the place. So I need to sit down and focus on what I should do for branding, like.
Dailypub.in. So anyway, it's the place where BuzzFeed steals their gifts from, basically. That's all.
Yeah, pretty much.
So we're talking about Wazir this episode. It's really cool. I feel that we got an early screening for once. That never ever ever happens, right?
No, I don't think. I mean, the only one that I can remember getting an early screening was last year when Vishal Bharadwaj released Haider here. Yeah, so yeah. That was the only one. Prior to that, the only other screenings we've got are because of like film festivals as such, yeah. But not like mainstream releases like this one, you know?
Yeah. So just to kind of let people know what we're doing this episode, we're going to be talking 20 minutes or at least half of the podcast spoiler free. So we're not going to go into too much details. We're going to talk about things that you can see or in the trailers or in the promos. Mm-hmm. So nothing too deep. And then afterwards, we're going to let you clearly know that this is kind of the spoiler warning. So after that point, we're going to talk about everything. So,
cool.
It's tough because I was thinking about how do I talk about this movie, how I do the conversation started, and even just telling people the genre of the movie already kind of, you know, is potentially is a spoiler, right? So yeah. I think we'll have to be careful how we kind of play it. Let's just start with this, man. This is directed by Bijoy Nambiar, who did Shaitan before and David.
Yeah.
And this is produced by Vidhu Vinod Chopra. And it's written by him and by Abhijit Joshi, who's they're like long-time collaborators. He's kind of their
in-house writer.
Exactly. Yeah, they've been writing.
He's written Munna Bhai and Three Idiots,
PK, and all that. So, long-time collaborators. Have you seen any of Bijoy Nambiar's movies?
I've only seen Shaitan, which is kind of like a toned-down remake of Anurag Kashyap's Paanch,
right?
Which didn't get to see the light of the day, but I have seen Shaitan, which I quite enjoyed. I've not seen David, but after two movies, which are almost of the same genre, and now he's doing Wazir, which is also, it kind of falls into the thriller genre.
Mm.
People try to, you know, associate a particular director to a particular genre, and I think when he's done three movies now, I think he does justice to the kind of movie that he wants to make, and I think Wazir is a good thriller.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I haven't seen any of his movies. I think I started with Shaitan and then I gave up quite quickly on it, or it just wasn't gelling with me at the time.
Yeah, the characters are very, very grating in that movie.
Yeah, so I kind of quit on that, and I thought, I just associated his name always with, you know, like Anurag Kashyap, and I would kind of think he would be like one of those, you know, Phantom guys, right?
Yeah.
But I think they worked together before Phantom even existed. So it's been quite a while, but it was just kind of surprising to see him now collaborate with Vinod Chopra. And, like you mentioned, it is a thriller movie. And if you look at the trailer, it's not even clear what it is.
I think when the trailer came out, it was, so this movie has been long in the making, Vinod Chopra probably wrote this for himself to direct it and to be made into an English movie, which didn't get made due to a lot of things. It was initially called something called Five Moves or something like that.
Right.
And then he hired Bijoy Nambiar to direct it, but it's been in the making for a long time. It's been in, you know, hibernation and such. And the trailers came out like early last year, didn't they? And this was supposed to get released like sometime in December or something, but because of the big movies coming out in late part of the year, it got pushed back.
Yeah.
So the early memories of the trailer, I've already forgotten like what I saw in the first trailer, but I did see like, you know, Farhan Akhtar all serious and moody, and then Amitabh Bachchan sitting on the wheelchair.
Yeah, I mean, the moment they announced the cast of this and the name, I was on board.
Yeah.
I kind of love, I love Amitabh. Farhan Akhtar's great. I even like Aditi Rao Hedri a lot. So, although I didn't know she was, at that time, I didn't know she was involved in it. Mm-hmm. Apparently they were going to make this in Hollywood with Dustin Hoffman instead of Amitabh Bachchan's role. Yeah. I read that somewhere, but you know, Bollywood reporting is never really reliable or anything like that. But the way Broken Horses went in terms of box office, I'm kind of happy they didn't go down that road and just decided to make it in Bollywood. Although the people that have seen Broken Horses are kind of, I mean, at least Martin, my co-host, he reviewed it on our podcast and he really liked it. So
has he seen Parinda?
He has not seen Parinda. So sometimes that's a good thing though, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
You get a fresh new look on, you know, not knowing the source material, I guess.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
And so you have absolutely no idea or no expectations.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I was really excited for this when it was announced, and it took a long time to get it on screen, and it kept getting pushed, and it was really annoying me. And I was really worried that, you know, January has become that, you know, like a graveyard for movies, you know, you just dump them there where, you know, there's like almost no hope.
But yeah, movies come to January to die.
Exactly. But
a silent death.
Yeah, but I was just going through the calendar and it seems it's kind of become a better month lately. Like Kahani was also a January release and a few other movies have been releasing every year.
Nipat.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So it becomes more kind of a dark horse kind of release where they think it might work, but they're not 100% sure. Mm-hmm. But having an early screening of this movie does show that they definitely have faith in it.
Yeah.
Because you know our Desi audiences, you know, if we can spoil anybody's fun in a thriller, we'll do it, you know. So, and I have to be honest, like the amount of tweets and reviews I've seen it, I think a lot of people have learned the lesson from Talash and they've kind of decided not to tell people, you know, what the movie is about. So it's kind of cool. We're learning. We're growing up. It's really cool.
Don't be the dickhead.
Yeah, don't be the dickhead. But I have to say this movie, it looks like a Vidhu Vinod Chopra movie, right? It's kind of like really sleek. It is
very sleek, which I think it, I don't know, because Bijoy Nambiar so far, it's not the Bijoy Nambiar movie look, I think. I've not seen David, but I've seen trailers of David and how it looks, and how I've seen Shaitan, and for Bijoy Nambiar, this is quite very clean and pristine.
Very polished, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, and it's much more, you know, like Vidhu Vinod Chopra's team and the kind of sheen that he adds, and I also feel like his, like, more than any other production house, his production house focuses on the writing and the screenplay. I think everybody says that they do, but these guys actually do. If you look at movies, you know, the movies that they have made, you know, the PK, yeah. the 3K, Three Idiots, they have been massive successes because of the screenplays, and they take their time to kind of develop them, and it usually pays off for them. So, like, when I was watching it, you know, the snappy writing in the dialogue and in the screenplay.
Exactly.
It just, you know, it just is in that wheelhouse of Vidhu Vinod Chopra movies.
What's clever though is like, when you look back at it, it does look scripted and it's all yeah. snappy lines, one smart line after another. Yeah. You know, the characters are throwing at each other. But in the spur of the moment, when you're watching it on screen, because of the brilliance of Amitabh Bachchan and Farhan Akhtar as well, it just looks natural of just two people having a banter, you know, just two friends sharing, you know, drinks and playing chess.
Yeah, yeah. And Amitabh, I mean, he gets the best lines in this movie. So, you know, you already have Amitabh, and then his delivery is just so on point with everything he says. Yeah. I mean, you're cracking up when he's being funny. He touches you when he's being emotional. And, you know, I think I was talking to you about this, or maybe some friend we saw the screening at is like, you know, like Amitabh, you have an image of him, you know, he's tall, he's, you know, like he's a granddaddy of Bollywood cinema, towering voice and persona. And here they kind of, you know, strip him of most of that, put him in a wheelchair. There's actually even a very interesting scene where he's speaking with Farhan, and Farhan is taller than him, which is just that perspective of somebody being taller than Amitabh is, we've never seen that, except maybe in Pa, but he was under so much makeup, you never ever, you know, feel that it's Amitabh. But this was kind of the first time that somebody was looking over Amitabh, and it was just like such an interesting way to see things, and still, it still had that fire, it still had that delivery, so, I mean, huge Amitabh fan, you know, like, and,
aren't we all?
I don't know, man. I feel the tide is kind of turning. I don't know if you discussed that on your podcast about Bollywood's Oedipal complex about Amitabh.
Yeah, we did.
Right? Yeah. So the whole theory that I've developed, you should go to Daily Pop In and kind of, listen to it. But, my theory is basically that, you know, Amitabh is our cinematic daddy. And this generation of filmmakers that grew up on his movies is basically trying to kill him or make him in a weaker position. So that's why you get Apiku. That's why you get Wazir. That's why you know, get him a Shamitab. And it's kind of our cinematic Oedipal
complex
kind of on screen. So and it's definitely here in Wazir too. But I feel also Farhan's, probably his best for performance yet, I feel. I don't know if you agree with that.
I don't know. Could anybody else play that role that Farhan did? Possibly. But he did quite a good, you know, he did quite good justice to the role that he portrayed. He emoted well, I think whenever he cries. Okay, before we go into this, can we just discuss what the plot is or something?
I want to kind of keep it general, then get into the plot, and then get into the spoiler section straight after, because I think it's kind of going to lead us there anyway, you know?
Yeah.
I think I want to start with the performances a little bit first.
Okay. So, I mean, I really enjoyed Farhan. As far as my favorite performance of Farhan is, I think I really liked him in Luck by Chance, and that will be my favorite Farhan Akhtar performance
because
he plays the role of that struggling actor and manipulative guy, like to the T. But I did enjoy him as the police anti-terrorist officer. You get to see the Farhan Akhtar's version of Ekta Tiger. It's, how would Farhan Akhtar be, like, you know?
Salman Khan.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. The thing is, like, I've always liked Farhan Akhtar in most of his movies, but this is not kind of his extension of his persona kind of role that he does in Zindagi or he does in Dil Chahta Hai. He wasn't in Dil Chahta Hai, but you know, that kind of idea that you have, or even, you know,
Dil Dhadakne Do,
that's what I meant. Yeah. You have kind of an idea of Farhan, who he is, and those kind, it's not that kind of role. It does require a performance. And although I love Luck by Chance, I feel it was kind of his first movie, so he's kind of very raw still. He needs to be emotional. He needs to deliver on action. So I feel, it felt a very rounded performance from him. It really worked for me.
Point to be noted, nobody's remembering Karthik call Karthik.
Yeah. I think even Farhan wants to forget that one. what did you think of Aditi Rao Hedri?
I thought she was wasted in this. Anybody could have played her role. And I think she was more of a distraction to the plot. I think I know it's being cynical and all that, you know, not responding to her tragedy on screen. Every time she came on screen, it didn't really help that every time she came on screen, the reel was, you know, put into a slow mode. and then Ankit Tiwari's, like, I hate Ankit Tiwari as a singer.
Oh, really?
I don't like him at all. Like, he sings with the same tone. He's like this generation's Himesh Reshamya.
Really? So, wow. That is, okay. That's a lot of hate.
I've heard him enough in Aashiqui 2. Mm-hmm. Like, Sun Raha Hai Khuda is okay. But after that, everything else that he's sung just sounds the same. And, well, coming back to Wazir. So every time they show this slow-mo scene of them, you know, sharing this tragedy and crying their eyes out, Ankit Tiwari starts singing, and that just threw me off. I was like, oh, man, why? That kind of put me off Aditi Rao Hedri as well. I think, the whole purpose of having her in the film was, you know, those slow-mo Kathak scenes, and that's it.
Yeah, like, she's kind of constantly spinning in slow motion throughout the movie. But I like her. Man, I liked her. I did connect with her emotionally. I totally got what they were going for, and I don't feel her performance was the letdown. It was kind of the script, and I think we'll get to that a bit later on. There is no role for her. But I think what she brings to the role, the kind of sense of pathos, the kind of sadness to it, and just the moments of even beauty. I think she does more with the role than the role kind of is written there. And I think that's where a good performance lies. For me, it really worked. So I do agree. It's a nothing role and anybody could have played it. But I think, she did a good job. Whatever you can feel for that character is because of Aditi Rao Hedri. And the thing is, I like this girl. I interviewed her when she debuted for her London, New York, Paris. I think that's what the movie was called, with Ali Zafar.
With Ali Zafar, yeah.
Yeah, and she was just wonderful to speak with. People should maybe go out back to You Podcast, check on episodes and interviews, and find that episode. She was wonderful there. She was wonderful in that movie. And I liked her in most movies, and I feel she hasn't really gotten her due as much. I mean, maybe it's not having gotten her due, but nothing makes her kind of stand out from the crowd, unfortunately. As a persona, you know. So she's tried different things. I mean, she's tried even the kind of bikini thing in Boss, with the, you remember Boss, right? Did you even watch that?
No, I don't think so. I don't even remember that movie exists. Is it an Akshay Kumar movie?
It is an Akshay Kumar movie.
Probably that's why.
It had that remake of that song. Is it from Kurbani or what is it from?
Har Kisi Ko.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
Good that you found it. I was almost going to try singing it. That would have been horrible for everybody involved. she was in that. So, it's a shame. I wish we saw more of her on screen. Because I do like her whenever I see her. But then I forget that she's an actress. It's a shame. It's mean to say that. What about
the two minor guest
appearances, right? It's in the trailer, so we can talk about it. We have John Abraham and Neil Nitin Mukesh in it. It's very, very short, roles for both of them, right?
Yeah.
It's like a scene and a half, basically, for both of them.
Sadly, like, Neil Nathan Mukesh gets mentioned in the trailer, but it's got even shorter role than John Abraham.
Yeah. it's a shame. I think they were functional. I think Neil Nathan Mukesh, I was like wondering why is he even in this movie for a long time? Because like the tide has turned against Neil Nathan Mukesh. Like people are not on board that train anymore, right?
Yeah, not at all.
I don't even know why that happened. I always find it interesting when kind of the audience turns on somebody. he's done, should we maybe pull up his IMDb page or something?
Yeah,
what was that point where everybody turned against him? was it Players? Because he did in New York. That was okay, I guess. Right? People went to New York, right? Jail was it Jail? Lafange Parende.
Yeah, people started kicking him out after Jail, I think.
Yeah, and then he did Players, which was kind of already 3 years after New York. So yeah, it's probably around Jail.
And then what happened was after Jail, he started like being really pompous and talking shit on interviews.
Right, right. And which he has continued doing.
yeah, pretty much.
Maybe that's the thing. I always kind of, I don't always follow what's going on with what they're saying, because most actors are idiots anyway. And they say stupid stuff. So I wasn't following that. So I was just like wondering, why did we all turn on him again? So I totally forgot. But anyway, he's in this movie because obviously he's worked with Bijoy before in David.
Yeah.
So that was the link. And it didn't even occur to me while I was watching this movie. I was just bothered by his presence. Mm-hmm.
But he plays that maniac quite well, I think.
Yeah, I think I think he's not bad. It's just like jarring to see him on screen because you're like, what is this dude doing here? And the scene is already over. Like, oh, what? That was it? So, it's okay. Kind of, you know, blink.
Until the next time we see you.
Yeah. Have you seen Prem Ratan Than Bio?
No.
Yeah, I missed that one too. I don't know how big his role was in that. So, him, Vivek Oberoi, there was this whole kind of, you know, host of actors that came at the same time, and all their careers is just kind of stuck in the mud now. It's
Aftab Shivdasani and Dino Maria and
Those were a bit before, I think. But yeah, I think they never even got out of the mud. At least, you know, Neil Nitin and Vivek had their time in the sunshine, right, in the spotlight. Yeah. But somebody else was stuck in the mud, I guess. John Abraham, I don't know. Maybe he was shooting for something else, or he was just there, or I don't know.
I think he met an accident or something, and there was some sort of a legal case put against him, so he couldn't shoot for movies and stuff. So
really?
Yeah.
Ah, I didn't know that. Okay. Through his production company or something, or?
I have no details, but I guess that's the cause. Yeah. So he had to take a break, then he got married and stuff, and then now he's back doing cameos and Houseful 2.
Right. Yeah. It was fine. I mean, both of them are fine, I guess. It's just that it's such a small role for both of them that you kind of, I don't have much to say about either of them, honestly. I did like the villain. I don't exactly
know. Manav Kaul.
Is that the guy's name?
Okay. Yeah, Manav Kaul.
Where is he from?
He's done a couple of movies. He was, he also played, again, he also played a politician in Kaipoche, if you remember.
Right.
Yeah, and he was, many, many years back, there was this Javed Jafri movie called Jajantram Mamantram.
Okay.
Which is like a Hindi remake of Gulliver's Travels.
Okay.
And he was one of the, you know, the little people.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So he's like a theater actor from many years.
Yeah, he has that theater presence, you know, like projecting his voice and all that kind of thing. Yeah.
He really, really acts well. Like, he gets not many scenes, but this is not really a spoiler, but there is one scene when
he rolls up his sleeves. Is that
not that. When Farhan Akhtar is called in his office.
Yeah.
That interaction with him, and he's like, very sly, very, very evil. You can tell it you know, that he is this creepy.
He's up to no good, like totally.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. No, for me, it was that scene where he rolls up his sleeve. It just the sense of dread that puts into you because it says so much with just a small movement. Yeah, that really got to me. So yeah, I think he was probably better than, I mean, he was better than both of those special appearances put together, honestly. And also the lady playing her is, Amitabh's, nurse, attendant, bhai, whatever.
Yeah, she was in
Dam Laga Ke Hai Sha.
Dam Laga Ke Hai Sha, and she was also in Aankhon Dekhi, I think.
Yeah, she's
Seema Pahwa.
Yeah, I think that's
her name. Yeah,
yeah. She was kind of good. She's kind of like becoming that go-to kind of lady for those kind of roles, right? The loud matriarch kind of role.
Punjabi.
Yeah, I guess.
Her name is Pammi Ji in this movie.
Right.
It's right. Like a stereotypical one Punjabi name that you can come up, like, you have a drink and think of, oh yeah, it has to be Pammi Ji.
she wasn't Vicky Dora's mom, right? That's a different lady, right?
No, that's Dolly Aluwalia.
Yeah, they all look the same to me. I can't keep these aunties apart, man.
Okay.
So I think the performances were great. What did you think of the music? Except the Ankit Tiwari. The first song was an Ankit Tiwari, right?
No, it was, I don't know. It was Sonu Nigam?
No, it was Shaitanu Moria, or whatever his name is, the guy.
Shantanu Moitya.
Yeah, that the guy.
No, it was sung by Sonu Nigam.
Oh, yeah, no, I meant it was composed by
Shantanu Moitra.
Yeah, okay.
So Shantanu Moitra has done a lot of Vidhu Vinod Chopra movies before, like Paranita was done by him.
Okay.
Lage Rao Munna Bhai was done by him.
Mm.
I
was just going to say, it's kind of that kind of soundtrack that serves the movie. But I don't necessarily feel I would buy the album or anything like that and listen to it or something like that. I did like that first Tere Bin song. The one the whole song is in slow motion.
Yeah. So much slow motion, man.
The whole song, so much slow motion. We were talking about it. No good can happen after so much slow motion, right?
Yeah.
Some tragedy has to follow.
Like, the moment we saw it, I told you, like, I knew this is up all over again. It's going to be, like, end up in a tragedy and somebody's going to die after this.
Yeah. And I have to say, like, I was almost late to the screening. And if I'd missed it by 5-10 minutes, I would have missed a lot of the movie, to be honest. So anybody who wants to go in there, get there on time, I would say, right?
Do not miss the beginning.
Yeah, exactly. Let's start getting into the plot a little bit. But not about spoilers. Let's just start a little bit with the plot. So they get married.
Farhan and Aditi,
they have a child. So all of this happens throughout one song. And then the child, dies in an accident because he's out chasing, terrorists. And he kind of leaves Aditi behind. He goes, it's an awesome scene though, when you think about it, right?
Yeah.
It's an amazing, amazing scene. But the child dies and, it's just that sense of guilt that Farhan Akhtar has, and it kind of creates a rift in their marriage. And you see all of that in the Tere Bin song too, if you watch the whole thing. And then basically he goes to Amitabh to kind of get therapy in a way, right? And, Amitabh has his own issues that he's dealing with, and he kind of asks or involves, Farhan Akhtar in it. I think that's kind of the general plot of the movie without any spoilers, right? Did I miss anything that we can?
Farhan goes there to, you know, he finds the wallet at the grave, and so he goes back to, and he finds the address, so he, you know, goes to return the wallet and finds out that his daughter has been learning chess from this guy called Omkarnath Dhar. Panditji, everybody calls him Panditji, and then one thing leads to another. They start bonding over, you know, their own grief and bereavement, and they develop a great friendship.
Yeah. So, what did you kind of think of the overall story? What did you think of the movie?
I think it's a very, I think it does a really good justice to both characters and how they are being portrayed and, you know, justifying their actions in a way without actually spoon feeding them. You know why, like when Farhan Akhtar is like roaming around or crying or laughing or saying the things that he's saying or doing the things that he's doing, you know why he's doing that. Even if he has a fit of rage, you know why he's doing that.
Yeah.
And that is, I think that comes from the writing.
Yeah.
As a whole, the world that is created around these two characters is just brilliant. I think the drama element of Omkar Nadhar and Dhanish, it just works brilliantly between these two. And I think kudos to both actors as well.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, I think it's basically just the kind of writing that they've, like, you know, like, it's so snappy, you know, it's so tight. It's basically a two-hander, right? It's around these two characters and almost the rest of the cast and what's happening almost becomes inconsequential. Mm-hmm. And I think
everything else is a supporting character.
It is. And I think sometimes that can be to the detriment of the movie, but not while you're watching it. While you're watching it, it's a very engaging ride and you're like, wow, you're fully on board and what's happening and stuff like that. If you are on board, obviously.
Yeah.
But afterwards, when you start thinking about it, you're like, wait a minute, that like makes no sense whatsoever. Like this part, there's quite a few plot holes in this movie that mm-hmm. almost makes no sense, but it
relies on a lot of coincidence.
Exactly. And there's just a lot of basic points that are just very shakily built, like the foundation of it when you think about it. Well, no, that's wrong. It's the foundation is solid, built on these two performances, but there are a lot of kind of, you know, inconsistencies around that whole thing. So it does end with kind of like most thrillers with an ending that's kind of a big reveal. What I felt the reveal itself mm-hmm. was a bit spoon-fed to audiences, and I think it really jarred with the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
Where I felt the movie is very slick, almost to a Hollywood standard.
Yeah.
And I think it became very much, it was almost like looking down on its audience suddenly. And there's almost two scenes that actually explain what happened, where I feel one was enough. And
yeah, exactly. It's just like elaborating on and on how it was done, what was done, and what it meant.
Yeah.
Everything. This implied this, followed by this, you know, it should trust its audience, but I think, you know.
But should it trust its audience, though? You know, like, I don't know. Like, I was speaking to a few people after the screening, mm-hmm. and I had the feeling they didn't get it. like even after.
Oh, okay. So at the end, in the climax scene when the play happens, the voiceover of Amitabh says, some chess players will get it.
Yeah.
So. People who don't play chess or have half a brain, you know, won't get it.
Yeah, I don't know. Or maybe people that don't get thrillers or, you know, I was having this discussion a while ago about Detective Bomkesh Bakshi.
Right.
And I'm kind of good with the riddles. It's just the thing that I'm good at.
Yeah.
And I'll give a trick to figuring out riddles. The solution is within the first 5 seconds. That's always the case in a riddle, right? And same thing with Bomkesh, like any of the big reveals and twists, I figured them out quite quickly. And the rest of the ride wasn't as interesting to me. And I think with Wazir, it didn't happen. I figured it out very, very quickly, but the rest of the ride was still very, very engaging to me. And, but then because I had figured it out so long ago, having the rest spoon-fed to me, it became a bit tiring for me at the end. So, but I don't know if that's, like, apparently, clearly, it's not the case for everybody.
Maybe some people, majority of the, I don't know, single screen, you know, audience, expects that, you know, to be, you know, explicitly explained about how everything fits together. But I guess we being audiences to many other genres of cinema from many other countries and having watched Korean thrillers and English thrillers and American thrillers and all these, you know, David Fincher movies, etc. We have kind of been nurtured into understanding the genre better.
Yeah, exactly.
So I guess people who only watch Bollywood thrillers, which in itself is not many movies, are kind of, you know, expecting or not expecting, but they've kind of feel the end result to be that, okay.
The other thing I also love beside thrillers is chess movies. it's a very niche genre. Like I'm saying, this movie is made for me. They have Amitabh, they have chess, you know, and I just love that. I love Fresh. If you've ever seen Fresh, I loved it. If anybody's ever seen, Night Moves, it's a movie with Christopher Lambert, but it's quite old, but it's really, really good. It's kind of, again, a thriller. And I think Bone Collector had a bit of chess in it, and even documentaries, Big Blue and all that. I just love chess movies. So I really liked the kind of, that kind of setting that they had in it. Mm-hmm. Maybe they didn't use it enough, but I think it does pay off enough for, and you know, it's striking that balance between going too intellectual. Going too intellectual, but
or
still.
So the two extremes are going too intellectual or going Rohit Shetty.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's kind of finding that balance, because obviously, because you know, you're making that movie, you need to make back your money. And if people, if an audience is not educated enough in thrillers, maybe that is kind of the way to go. I don't know. So that was kind of a thing I had some issues with. But
you ended up liking the movie, or loving the movie rather, way more than me, right?
I did. And I think one thing that, and it comes back to the Aditi Rao Hedri thing, I connected with the parents and the child more than anything. And, there's something with the villain and, I mean, children, like little girls, just, you know, like I have a young daughter. I'm just putty in movie makers' hands when it comes to, like, I become a blubbering mess. So when that first initial scene happens where the little girl dies, it's like a cold hand goes around my heart and just holds it for the rest of the movie. So that just totally worked for me. And just that understanding that, you know, this dad, finding that balance between feeling guilty and his own sadness and just being alone in that situation, because he can't even connect with his wife anymore at that point. Yeah. It really got to me. And especially there's a final line that, Amitabh says when he addresses, Farhan Akhtar, that really got to me too. So that first scene got to me, that last scene got to me, the villain storyline got to me. So that just took it to another level. But I mean, if you're not a softie like me, or if you don't connect with, a few of our friends didn't connect with it as much. I
did connect with, I don't know. I really connected the way that I thought the friendship, the build up of the friendship didn't feel manipulative or you know, in any way contriving.
Yeah,
I think the whole bonding over grief is a very, very real thing. You know, you confide in someone because you know that they have gone through, or they are going through, the same kind of shit that you are going through.
Yeah,
and that's a very human thing, and it's been portrayed really, really well. Again, I can praise Amitabh and Farhan for probably hours, and we can talk about this for hours.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's in a way, it made me also think of Interstellar, weirdly enough, because a lot of people didn't connect with that father and daughter story. And those that did connect, that movie went to like an entirely different level for them, which for me was the case. Mm-hmm. You know, a dad traveling through time and space to speak to his daughter, you know, that just gets to me, you know, because of a promise he made. So again, here in Wazir, the kind of, you know, the sadness that the character has and the way that Farhan portrays it, that really got to me, and that was really what elevated it that much for me. But let's get into spoilers now, right? I think because I want to talk a bit about the issues, and we can't do that without getting into spoilers. So I think if people want to stop here listening, totally fine. Drop us an email at upodcasting.com. Anything like that. And, I think, I mean, just as a general thing, I think people should really go watch this movie, right?
Yeah, support this kind of cinema. Like, more movies like these with, you know, original storylines and genre exploring movies should come out of, you know, India or Bollywood cinema.
Yeah.
I think you should, if you are going for Dilwale, then you should definitely go for Wazir. If you're not going for Dilwale, then you should watch Wazir twice.
Yeah. I think also, like, what I mentioned to you earlier, when we saw the movie, a lot of people say, you know, like, Bollywood needs to change and, you know, become more realistic, or I think a lot of those people.
I mean, everything can coexist, right? We can all pay for movies every week.
Yeah, but I just feel there's this kind of critical push to get movies like, you know, Masaan and Ship of Theseus and Lunchbox that are very non-Bollywood, you know. There's no songs in it. I don't know if Masaan has songs or whatever, but, you know.
Well, it has some songs, but not like lip sync.
Not lip syncing, you know, all that kind of thing. So I don't want that necessarily. It's great that people enjoy that, and that kind of movies now exist and they get distributed. But I don't feel my Bollywood needs to change. I love my Bollywood the way it is, and I think Wazir is a very.
I think the Bollywood I love and you love and we all love is not going to go anywhere, because that is the bread and butter of how Bollywood exists, right?
Yeah.
So I think Masaan and things like Lunchbox, these are just the outliers. There's still a long way to go for those kind of cinema to become really, really mainstream. Even that doesn't even happen in Hollywood. Hollywood's bread and butter is all the summer blockbusters and, you know, the ones that get released by Paramount and 20th Century Fox and, you know, like Disney.
Yeah.
The smaller ones get a video on demand release or small festival releases or smaller, you know, number of screens.
Yeah. Yeah. But in any case, Wazir is like, is what a Bollywood movie is. It's a Bollywood movie.
It is a Bollywood movie.
It's the way the acting is. It's very Bollywood. It's not like, you know, longing gazes and very slow scenes and nothing happening. And me just getting bored. Like Lutera, I was so bored with this movie, with that movie.
Oh God. Come on. Shut up.
That is exactly the kind of movies I hate. So, and it's just not my cinema, you know, I get bored with it. Like, I saw even Netflix as Ship of Theseus and I added it to my watch list and I was even begrudgingly adding it to my watch list. It's just not my thing. But Wazir is my thing, and I think people should go out and watch this movie. It's amazing. So,
Someday I'm gonna come there and smack you for saying bad about Lutera, though.
Dude, my mom
cried watching Lutera.
Dude, you've seen the size of my biceps, man. How the hell are you gonna smack me?
I'm just gonna smack you and just run away, I guess.
Funny. But that's a whole separate podcast we can talk about. But both of us agree people should go watch Wazir.
Absolutely.
Both Dilwale and Bajirao have made enough money now. Go watch Wazir.
Yeah.
Cool.
How many times are you going to watch Bajirao Mastani or even Dilwale?
Yeah, watch Bajirao on Tumblr, man. The whole thing is on there now. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
So, spoiler section. Let's get into it a little bit. Okay, so let's talk about the issues, right? I had with the movie, or were there any things that stood out for you that you really had problems with?
Right, like the most obvious one is that. So okay, let's discuss the plot with spoilers first, and then we'll pick up the issues that we've got.
Yeah.
So what happens is basically Farhan Akhtar has a happy life. He is an anti-terrorist officer, and then he loses his child in a tragic accident, and then he finds, a comforting friendship in Omkar Nath Dhar, who is Amitabh Bachchan.
When he's at the point of committing suicide, right?
Yeah. And then he is kind of revived from that point, and he, sort of picks up his life, starts playing chess, and then Amitabh tells Farhan. So before all of this, before he was about to commit suicide, he kills the terrorist who, kills his daughter.
Yeah.
Right. And so he's left with this even, blank, purposeless life of sorts, because he's already killed the person who he is supposed to kill as a revenge, but he's now has nothing to do, and so he's absolutely aimless. And then Amitabh meets Farhan, and then they become friends, and then Amitabh says that he wishes that he could have taken revenge on the person who killed his daughter. And then they get to know that his daughter was also killed by the guy who is the villain, played by Manav Kaul. He is, I exactly can't remember the name of the character that he plays, but he plays a welfare minister. And then...
From Kashmir, right?
From Kashmir, and he is a big deal in Delhi, and then basically Amitabh uses Farhan Akhtar to assassinate this person.
Yeah, basically he's manipulating Farhan throughout the movie to take his revenge because he's in a wheelchair and he can't do anything. So there's this whole chess kind of allegory where he's a broken pawn and...
he moves one step at a time to become the wazir.
Yeah, to become the wazir, which is kind of that twist where, Farhan is looking for the wazir, to the point where he ends up, taking his revenge, figuring out who the wazir is at the end, which is the broken pawn.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the Kareena is a ghost explanation of this movie, or Kajal was the killer, that kind of.
That's the Bollywood version of, Luke, I'm your father.
Yeah, this is Kaiser Soze. Amitabh is Kaiser Soze, basically.
So, my issue with the whole thing is that they have to show that the villain is a terrorist and he's not a good person.
Yeah.
And
it has nothing to do with Amitabh's plan either, right?
No. He just finds out because his daughter gets killed.
Well, he doesn't. There's no point that he knows that the villain
is
anything more than the killer of his daughter.
Yeah, he just knows because he saw it in his eyes.
Exactly. And
we believe that because he's a chess player.
Yeah, exactly. And the kind of lengths he goes to, I understand he's taking that. I just felt there was a way, like he, apparently Pandit Ji was from Kashmir and the villain was Kashmir.
Yeah,
there was an easy tie-up there.
I thought they were going to do some sort of a tie-up there by telling the backstory of Amitabh, how his legs got amputated and stuff like that, and how the minister knows about Panditji's, misfortune. In one of the scenes when he says, Panditji has led a very sad life. He lost his wife. He lost his daughter. So I thought there's going to be something deeper rather than just that, incident where his daughter is killed.
Yeah.
And also, who really gets killed by just getting thrown down the stairs like that?
Yeah.
How fatal of an injury is that, that you are guaranteed death if you fall down the stairs?
Yeah, but I think that was kind of the in a way, showing the... that it was just preposterous that this was the way she got the Amitabh's daughter died. So it was just like political power hushing down something that was going on. So in a way, I could understand that was the reason for Amitabh's frustration, but the villain, main villain, is this terrorist that's hiding and has kidnapped the daughter of his own victims and kind of shown her to the world as his daughter and made a political career out of that. That was like, wait, what? Like, there's no tie-in. It just kind of is very like an appendix hanging to the story, and it's just really, really weird. The other problem I also had was Farhan Akhtar's character is suspended in this movie. Is there ever a moment where he feels suspended in this movie?
No.
He has all the powers of the cop. He's calling in backup. He's chasing people. He's doing the full investigation. And there's like no...
He's making orders, like phone tapping the ministers as well. Like
he's ordering his sardar sidekick who he's living with, who he's pretty much bossing him around. It's like, dude is giving you his apartment to live in, and you're like still being an asshole about it. Like, that was like, what the hell is going on here, man? So again, another kind of thread that was just dangling there, and it never really kind of tied into anything. So I think that was kind of messy too.
Yeah.
And then the third,
I think that could have been done away with if they had tied in together the backstory of the minister guy with Amitabh's backstory. If the Panditji was actually from Kashmir somehow, because he ended up marrying somebody called Nilima.
Though there were definitely things that they could tie it up around, even because the whole suspension thing, maybe it seems a bit odd that I'm mentioning it, but basically he goes on a killing spree twice in this movie when he's not supposed to. And at the end of it, everybody just accepts it. It's like, okay, cool, you did it. Okay, totally fine. And it's like, what?
We've seen Dabang, so you can be like anything.
Yeah, he was like people are just accepting the story of this little girl and this guy that's didn't like, he's clearly like has psychological issues, right? And it just like weakened the whole premise. And then when you follow that up with that like 15 minute explanation of what actually happened in the movie, which you already know, it just becomes a bit like, wait a minute. And that is the moment where you start picking plot holes in the movie, because they explain it like it's such a fluent kind of thing when it's clearly not. There was a lot more. Maybe it is kind of they wanted to edit it so much that they left out where they needed a bit more padding. But I don't know. I think it was a choice they made and they had to make in a way.
Even the high climax scene where they plan the shootout, so just two people, Farhan and John, planning this entire thing of like bombing this election rally or something that happens in this building, and then just two people against the Indian Army and then special forces and
special
stuff.
Special forces, yeah.
And Farhan goes in gung-ho and just kills them all.
And whatever happens to John Abraham, who's like surrounded by people
with
laser lights, is like, what happened there? Like, it's like, is he dead? Is he alive? Why didn't he show up for the play? Like, you know, it was really, really weird. Another thing I also had an issue with was just in totality. Mm-hmm. And it's even worse because Farhan Akhtar is kind of this spokesperson for Mard, which is kind of a feminist group, I think. I don't know if I'm explaining it correctly, but it's kind of for awareness of how men should treat women or treat them better, I think, like that. And this movie doesn't treat any of the female characters in a decent way. And I think that is the main issue that Aditi Rao Hedri's character has. But every other female in this movie gets silenced, get killed, get tortured, gets, you know, put aside, gets kidnapped. And it's just one after the other. Every main female character except the nurse
Pamiji.
Pamiji is totally, you know, it's a non-existent role. They're just again pawns. They are the pawns in this movie, and that just feels kind of sad, you know. They could have been a bit more smarter about that, a bit more aware of it. And again, because Farhan is involved, maybe it kind of makes it a bit more of a sore point than it should be. Mm-hmm. I just kept thinking back of Talash and how much better that movie was, you know. I love Talash, by the way.
It wasn't obvious.
Yeah, and having a female writer and a female director adds so much to a movie like that. I felt there was a very strong, female driven movie, and it had these themes about male violence, which this could have been added in Wazir, and there were some shades in it. But they didn't use enough of them. And I think having maybe a more diverse crew in the writing process or in the filming process or even in the casting might have made it work. I think either Amitabh's role or Farhan's role could have been played by a woman, right? It didn't necessarily need to be, you know, all the girls that, all the...
Or even John Abraham's role.
Yeah, all the victims are girls, basically. And they could have been boys, for example, and it would have changed a bit of the dynamic. But it just has that kind of, you know, it just kind of felt a bit odd to me. That was kind of a minor point. I think we've gone over the ending already. I don't think we need to really get into it. But that whole monologue that he has on the USB key, although touchingly delivered, and it was that one line where he says, "I'm going to heaven and I'm going to my wife and I'm going to take care of your daughter." Mm-hmm. That killed me. That really did kill me. That line. It really got to me. But just the whole, especially that scene where he's like overtly dropping the wallet in the graveyard. Mm-hmm. I was like, come on, man. Come on.
Did you really need to show us that, you know?
Like four times, right?
Yeah.
That was a bit kind of a sour note. And it's just because it happens like the whole, like, last 15 minutes of it.
Yeah.
It does kind of lessen the impact of some pretty good action scenes. That chase scene that Farhan has is really, really good.
Yeah.
Even the way his reaction to the big reveal of the villain.
Yeah.
Is amazing, you know? So he's really, really good. And I think those kind of blemishes in the movie kind of weaken it a little bit. Mm-hmm. I did love this movie though. I'm just kind of trying to find some criticism to kind of give it to it. Yeah. I just love this.
This is not an issue, more of an intrigue. I'm kind of interested in knowing the backstory of Panditji.
Yeah.
Because he is a very well-known personality in Delhi.
And very rich too.
Very rich. He runs this chess club. He, you know, organizes drama and dance, you know.
But his daughter is giving a class to the welfare minister, right? Yeah. Like, that's not a...
Yeah. So there has to be a major thing that has happened before in his life of why he is such a prominent personality in the city.
Yeah.
So I think that could have been explored a little more. And he's just reduced to being the wazir.
Yeah, I think they cut so much to kind of keep it sleek and keep the pacing going forward. I think they maybe have cut out too much.
Yeah.
But I don't know, it felt like a very short movie when we...
1 hour, 40 minutes.
Well, which is odd for a Bollywood movie. That's very short.
Yeah, 1 hour, 40 minutes, 20 minutes of which is in slow motion with singing, so...
Spinning, yeah. I wonder if, like, our Desi audiences will be like, Paisa vasool nahi hua. You know, that kind of thing?
Yeah.
But maybe it's also because we didn't have an interval at the press screening. We just kind of kept going. I don't know. I really needed to pee, but then I forgot about it. Didn't even want to go out in the second half, but gladly the second half was very short. So, any other scenes that stood out for you or any dialogue moments that you really liked in the movie?
I think the one, like, I always, even in tragedy movies or movies that have a lot of sadness or all of that, I often tend to remember the happier ones because, and one of them is, in this movie was when they play the Omkarnath special chess.
Yeah,
that when they, you know, have vodka shots with every move. Before that, like, Farhan Akhtar is also quite already drunk.
Yeah.
And he arrives at his place at around 2 a.m. or something. And then Amitabh Bachchan he recites a very Raddi Sher and Farhan comments on the quality of this Shairi and he's like, you've come at my place at 2 a.m. What else do you expect? That whole kind of banter thing is just brilliant.
It was brilliant. It was brilliantly delivered. It was so good. And it was just that timing, the way he delivers Amitabh. He kind of turns away from him and then he says the line. It's amazing. I love it. And you can't have an Amitabh movie like this and not get him drunk, right? Although, I mean, we've seen him drunk so many movies and he's done it in so many times. And obviously he's not, you know, it's not the cockroach scene from Hum and all that, but it's still good. It's still really good. And it kind of also ties into everything at the end, which makes it good.
Mm-hmm.
I really loved also like Farhan's, also his delivery of lines. There was this phone conversation he was having with Neil Nitin Mukesh where he ends it like Marega Saleh. I love the way he did that. It's also in the trailer. I love that. I love the way he did that. And a few other like even with the final scenes and like you know his eyes and like the kind of passion he has.
It kind of all adds up to his character, which has that, you know, hint of anger management issues.
He definitely does.
Because, like when he kills the terrorist, the first terrorist guy, he doesn't even look at him and just shoots. Like, he stands up and he just shoots 3 times.
Yeah, he's cool as fuck, man. He's cool as fuck.
And like, fucking swag, man. And
he's cool as fuck.
And the moment he breaks the door and enters in the final climax, he just throws the helmet at the minister guy. He's just, oh, man.
It's so good.
So good.
Even that scene where he's actually fighting the villain, and the villain, on a moment, kind of starts retaliating, and you see how strong he is. And I like that they built that in this in the screenplay already much, and it pays off at the end. I thought it was a really, really smart writing. And it's just those little touches that, you know, make a movie, and I think I really appreciated that. As you can guess, I really like this movie. Cool. So I think that wraps it up. I think if everybody's listened to the end of the podcast, I don't know why you did that. You should have gone and seen the movie and then listened to the rest of it. But I hope you at least enjoyed it. So Joy Man, where can people find more of your work?
So I'm on Twitter, rambling, at the rate 93K.
Aren't we all rambling on Twitter?
I plan on uploading some sketches throughout the year on my Instagram, which is also at the rate 93K. And I will probably be making GIFs and all the memes on Bollypop.in. We also run a podcast called Bollywood Podcast, which will be on dailypop.in. So do give us a listen.
Oh, and you're recording something on this weekend?
Oh, so this weekend I'm doing the second part. Oh, so we usually record the year-end special, me, Beth, and Carla, Filmy Geek. So we are kind of doing like giving away awards and such, the best actor and best actress, because our year-end podcast at Waterloo BFI was more like, let's catch up over coffee, have a yearly roundup. What did you think about this movie? Oh, it was shit. But yeah, this will be like well-informed, wiki pages open, and like rambling on, why did Saif not do a good movie this year?
Why hasn't, like, when was the last time Saif did a good movie?
I don't know. I can't remember even,
yeah.
What was that movie where he was playing a writer or something and his alter ego pops up or something like that?
What is that movie? Being Cyrus?
No, not Being Cyrus.
I'm going really far in the past.
let me quickly check that. Saif Ali Khan.
Oh, right. Happy Endings, right?
Is happy that Ending. Happy
Ending. Yeah.
I'm like, Saif is not... When are the Khans going to start playing roles that are their age? Like, I'm really looking forward to Shah Rukh Khan playing Rais.
Dude, I told you yesterday, right? I think this year is the end of the Khans. The era of the Khans, as we know it, has ended this year, I feel.
With Dilwale, finally.
Yeah, Dilwale killed it.
Yeah.
You know, like, hip-hop got killed by 50 Cent? The Khan era got killed by Dilwale.
Right.
Anyway.
Anyway, so where can we find you?
Dude, I'm again on Twitter. We're on UPodcast. Find us on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter. Drop us an email at upodcasting@gmail.com. I think we're going to be doing a few changes and like making some, I'm looking forward to this year. I'm kind of like re-excited about podcasting and like putting out content that people can enjoy. So keep an eye out and, thanks for listening, everybody.
Teri yaari chal mana is baari saari meri fikrein tere aage aake haari khoob lagi mujhko teri bimari इस बेढंगी दुनिया के संगी हम ना होते यारा अपनी तो यारी अतरंगी।